don't know about you, you know, I think it's going to all come back to us as individuals as to how we're going to deal with this. The Taoiseach expected to make another address to the state and the nation this evening. We don't know what time, could be around 6 o'clock, which is the usual time to give this. But we are between that rock and hard place of people wanting to enjoy Christmas. Who'd ever thought we would be over 2 years into this now? And look, here, let's acknowledge the first reality. We're going to be dealing with this forever. It's at best, it's going to be like the flu. It'll be with us every year. It's not going to go away. At best, we have the vaccines and more viral medicines are being developed all the time. We all have to acknowledge that reality, because if we don't, we'll constantly be feeling down over this. And I understand a lot of people are under huge mental pressure. And contrary to belief out there, Owen Keira and myself get fed up at talking about this day after day after day after day. But it's our job. We have a public service duty to keep you informed with responsible information rather than the sort of crazy stuff you can often see off the internet. So each and every person has a duty to keep themselves informed, but also to acknowledge the reality. The government and NPHET are tasked with minding us. I know many people will say they're not doing a very good job of it. That's a particular view. Others will say we've had nearly 5 million people vaccinated twice and we're doing it all again. That's an incredible logistical achievement. Just think about that. Think of the tens of thousands of people on our front lines who are performing heroically. Think of all those thousands, 5,000 plus, who are no longer with us. The tens of thousands who are suffering from long COVID. So what do you want the government to do? Nothing? And then finally, maybe say to yourself, thank whoever is your God, or none, for our blessings that we're still here and in health. And try that old PMA, positive mental attitude. That's just a view from Clem. Sometimes I wonder, should I have become a priest? I wonder. Don't know about you, Rob Mulhern. What do you think?
Good morning, Clem. How are you doing?
Good morning, Rob. Unfortunately, as I said, Rob Mulhern is a journalist from Nace, living in London for many years. He's been with us on the programme. He's also a documentary maker, contributes to RT, radio, television, Sky and everything else. Many strings to his bow. Before we talk what you're doing at the moment and the situation in the UK on the COVID variant and the prospects for Boris now following yesterday's by-election defeat, we have to start with yet another incredibly sad story that's just breaking in terms of London this morning, Rob. I don't know what you can add to it, except I understand from headlines we're seeing here that twins aged 4 and 3 have died in a blaze in London. I think 4 children is the number have died in a blaze, and the woman has been arrested. What a tragic story this is.
Certainly, Clem. Yeah, I was actually this morning, I put on the news when I got up myself and seeing it. It's Sutton in South London, and living in South London myself, over in Crystal Palace, it's only a few miles actually from Sutton, so it does feel close to home. But I can't actually add any more.
The story we're getting here is that a woman has been arrested following the fire. 4 children died. 4 boys, 2 sets of twins, aged 4 and 3, died in hospital after being treated at the scene. This puts everything in perspective, folks. The misfortune, a tragedy that's afflicting people everywhere around the world. Metropolitan Police say a 27-year-old woman has been arrested on suspicion of child neglect. Firefighters' breathing apparatus entered the mid-terrace house in a place called Collingwood Road in Sutton yesterday evening, as it was being ravaged by what local services called an intense blaze. The London Fire Commissioner is quoted in news reports here, his name is Andy Rowe, that the deaths have left everyone numb with profound sadness. The fire was under control by 8:36 and the cause is under investigation. The children were brought out of the house, given emergency care, but unfortunately died, were confirmed as dead later in hospital. Up to 60 firefighters were called to the blaze just before 7 p.m. How sad is that? That area of London, can you tell us anything about it, Rob, in terms of, I know London's a very, very big place.
It's another postcode. It's kind of, you know, south of the river, you know, heavily kind of urbanized. I think the thing that strikes me there, just from what you're reading off the internet, is the sheer number of fire service people who were sent to the scene. Did you say 60?
60, yes. Which shows that it was a major conflagration. You know, how tragic is it, two sets of boys, in terms of that? Anyway, on that note, our thoughts go to anybody who has been bereaved in any circumstances whatsoever. Rob, let's start with, I suppose, the way Omicron has doubled and doubled and doubled, which is now facing us here in this country. How... there's huge resistance beginning to rear up here at the prospect that the Taoiseach might confirm this evening that all hospitality will close down at 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock over the Christmas period. How are people in the UK reacting to your restrictions?
I think they're reacting quite well, Clem. I mean, you know, a lot of it is kind of anecdotal, of course, in terms of what, you know, you're exposed on the news when you're following the updates, as I would be myself, and obviously working in the industry, and then just being out and about and speaking to our friends and neighbours. I would think, kind of in simple terms, that it's kind of the case now, it feels at least, that people are kind of hearing the information and reacting to it well, as opposed even to kind of previously going back into the months previous with the pandemic, where restrictions were being kind of forced upon the society. I think, obviously, this week there was the advice from the Chief Medical Officer, Chris Whitty, about people using their own discretion and buyer beware and all the rest of it. And, you know, even in terms of what's going on in our own lives, my eldest daughter has a birthday party tomorrow. You know, we were asked by the person organising, can everyone who's coming down do an antigen test? It's in a hall kind of down the road in Crystal Palace. You know, there's lots of instances like that where people are taking the responsibility and using their own judgments. Obviously, pubs, clubs, hospitality, you know, as it stands at the moment.
And what's the story with what's the story, Rob, there with pubs, by the way? Are they carrying business as normal?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in one now for a week, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in some respects, Glenn, like, I was trying to think back before the call, like, and maybe I have this wrong, but it feels like the last time that the measures, or there's this level of kind of concern and the public were being encouraged to react in a certain way, I think we have to go back to kind of last Christmas. So,
yeah,
in some respects, in the UK, and I know it's often been a surprise to Irish people coming over visiting, you know, society has kind of functioned in a different way, or probably in a way that COVID was like way off the agenda, kind of was kind of noise kind of going on in the background. And in some respects, what's going on now with Omicron and the measures and guidance that's quite pointed at the moment, that's kind of quite new in a way that you don't kind of feel fatigued to the same degree maybe as it would be at home.
Yes, and here because, in Ireland, you know, that's the one of the things here is we've been living with this kind of closed lockdown today and open tomorrow, lockdown again. Here in Kildare, we've gone through at least 3, possibly 4 lockdowns. And there is a huge level of COVID fatigue out there. But I suppose, and I know you have been, things have been looser in the UK, but I wonder if that's now coming back to haunt Boris Johnson's prime ministry and the whole thing. But governments are damned if they do and damned if they don't. Last Christmas here, the government didn't, and look what happened in January. lockdown. Now they're proposing very, very strict measures, it seems, will come into play, and people are up in arms because 2 years on, we're all tired. What's the attitude in terms of mask wearing in places like shops, pubs and wherever else in London, around London, Rob?
Well, up until 3 weeks ago, Clem, it would be kind of more exception than the rule outside public transport to see people wearing masks. And that might be kind of, you know, you might find that kind of surprising, but
yeah.
Before Omicron, kind of, you know, if you go back into October, before this all started, public transport absolutely would be kind of standard, really, that everybody would be wearing a mask in public transport. But beyond that, kind of out and about, you know, if you're just driving around in your car, you would probably be kind of, if you just landed into London kind of out of the blue, you'd probably be surprised by, you know, the absence of a lot of mask wearing. So that's, you know, I guess maybe that's indicative maybe of where, you know, society was at kind of 3 weeks ago. Obviously, that's changed now.
Well, it's certainly going
to... To what degree, you know, remains to be seen. But I guess I would feel that just in terms of kind of our own lives and people that we know and what's going on around the locality here, that, you know, people are responding, you know, with kind of, diligence is probably a long word, to the advice that's been given this week.
Yeah, I think people are accepting the reality, certainly, of mask wearing here. I see a lot more of it. Rob, before we let you go, is Boris Johnson a dead man walking in terms of his leadership of the Conservative Party and his prime ministership, given the 100 members who rebelled against him during the week and the loss of that seat in the by-election overnight, where they had a 23,000 majority in 2019 and the Liberal Democrats have stepped in and won it by nearly 6,000 votes. What a turnaround. Is Johnson going to survive, do you think?
I guess he would. I guess everything kind of is stacking up against him, and like you would think that the writing's on the wall, but the kind of guy that he is, and like his history and kind of politics suggests, you know, that he may kind of ride it out as well. I guess, like, obviously, the big difficulty there is there's a huge groundswell of opinion here that those 100 MPs who rebelled against the party are representing, and that's a real kind of reticent and disquiet over further guidance and, you know, further limitations. So, you know, like you said kind of at the top of your intro, it's kind of a case of kind of he's damned if he does or he doesn't, because it's, you know, there's quite a kind of split there in his own party in terms of the want to kind of be more hands-on and apply more kind of restrictions, but you know, a huge amount of Tory MPs who are representing like a very kind of tangible like sentiment in society that don't want any more restrictions. They want that kind of buyer beware, you know, they want to be kind of given the responsibility themselves to make their own decisions.
Yeah, that's grand, except when the health system gets overwhelmed, whether it be there or here, then many of those will be seen walking off into the sunset themselves and creating distance between themselves and Johnson. But we'll see what will happen there anyway in the over scheme of things. I suppose when you hear about the deaths of 4 children in a fire, 2 sets of twins overnight, it does offer a certain perspective. Rob, I take it you won't be here for Christmas. Are you making more documentaries at the moment?
I've some work on for Sky, Clem, so yeah, just really trying to get that finished for the end of the year, and you know, haven't any plans really for next year. There's work there to be done, but it's really just looking forward to having a bit of a rest at Christmas and hanging out with the kids and stuff.
All right. Well, listen, we wish you well, Rob, and sometime when you're back at base here, we look forward to you calling in to see us when circumstances permit that. Journalist in this, living in London, can I wish you, Rob, and indeed your entire family, both there in London and here at home in this, a very happy Christmas, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge. Get Christmas all wrapped up at Whitewater.
Keep your messages coming now on the way. We'll have our sports review of the week, our preview of the weekend. And yes, indeed. Did you see Micheál Martin over in Brussels whining and dining while he advises the people to cut back on socialising? It would be in very different circumstances, though, Breda. He'd been whining and dining there. KFM, hi. Even though there is free parking in council car parks in Naas, the machines still take money. Also, small sticker on paying machines is not enough to inform people. Thanks. Happy Christmas to all. In KFM, says Karen Wickstead. Karen, one of the stars of Connect 4 with Paul Power every evening after 6 o'clock. You want to tune in and try that, lads, where Paul takes four songs and people have to gives clues and people have to find the connection between them to come up with the answer, either after song 1, 2, 3 or 4. Connect 4 with Paul Power and K-Drive every evening after 6 o'clock. And I see Karen Wickstead won one of the very special mugs as well that Paul was giving away at one stage on that programme. Right, 9.3 million case tests for a population of 4.9 million, proving cases are not unique individuals. So somebody has just sent me that kind of message. And Clem, you're right what you're saying, but I couldn't believe that Tony O'Brien from the HSE said last night, it's the first time I heard any official saying it in public. You don't need pubs and restaurants to enjoy Christmas. It's meant to be a family time. There's more to life than pubs and drinks. Yes, but the only question I would add to that, and thanks for sending that in, is are we going to drive everyone to house parties if we close the restaurants and the pubs? I don't know, but I think we will, Owen.
Okay, let's go to the recent Kildare Newbridge Municipal District meeting then, and Fine Gael Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer joins us on the line now. Peggy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Owen.
You're joining us live from the Punchestown Vaccination Centre, so we might just talk about that before we get to your motions, Peggy, and I suppose we've seen over the last couple of days just how big the queues are going into Punchestown. What's it been like working on the front line?
Well, Owen, it's interesting. It's kind of like peaks and troughs. Now, yesterday I was on a community mobile team. We did nearly 300 kilometres, a doctor and I going into housebound. I just want to acknowledge the wonderful work that families and carers are doing to look after people at home, and we were able to do our booster dosing. Today it's very manageable. I would just encourage people, Owen, I'm going to say this, we have 7 days when you get a booster to get you up to the immune levels that you need to be at. Tomorrow week is Christmas Day. I want to say to everybody and to plead, if you get any opportunity to get a booster dose, please come forward to get the booster dose. Dose one, dose two, it doesn't matter. We're here, Punchestown, it's very manageable here this morning. We've changed our work practices. We've changed how we do things. The 15 minutes is very flexible. We have additional staff gone into the pharmacy. Actually, the flow is much faster. So I just want to encourage people, but I also want to acknowledge about the healthcare staff, our frontline workers who look as if they're going into another wave, and just acknowledge the difficult times that they have and the difficult winter months that they're probably going to have too. So again, please, please get every opportunity to take your vaccination.
Well said, Peggy, and great work going on out there at Punchestown Vaccination Centre and indeed
the testing
centre.
Could I ask Peggy a question? Like, what are the hours of opening, Peggy, today and into the weekend, please?
The hours are open this morning. Well, Ken, when we arrived here this morning at 8 a.m, there was actually cars here. So it's 9 to 5 all over Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And if you go onto the HSE website, you can actually see the walk-ins. But Ken, we're gone so flexible that if a walk-in comes in or a person that has an appointment 2 days before, 2 days after, maybe in the afternoon, at the gate, at the door, we're actually very flexible. We are not turning anybody away.
All right, that's great news.
We may say to somebody, come back in an hour. If there's a huge queue, they'll see it themselves. But there is nobody being refused a vaccination in Punchestown.
All right, that's great to have that update. So there you have it now, folks. You know what's going on at Punchestown and in pharmacies. Go and get your booster, or whether it's your first or second injection, you will be taken on board. Sorry, Owen.
Okay, motions then that you brought forward to the meeting, Peggy. And first of all, we'll deal with the motion in terms of the playground on the Station Road in Kildare. You wanted the council to provide an update on the time frame for the installation of a separate entrance to the playground.
Yeah, Owen, actually, that's the playground in Station Road in Newbridge.
Right.
Owen, that entrance is shared with Kay Leisure. So what happened then during the restriction when Kay Leisure was closed, access to the playground was restricted. We had to kind of put up a temporary entrance. So there is plans to actually make a separate independent entrance into that playground, and it is scheduled to happen in 2022, which is positive.
Okay, you had a joint motion then with your Fine Gael colleague Mark Stafford that the council investigate the feasibility of the provision of a looped walking trail at Clongowna, Milltown and Barrenstown West.
Yes, so on during COVID, many of us found new loops and walks when we had the restrictions from the kind of 2 and the 5K. So this is one that developed out in Milltown, but I suppose Milltown are very privileged. They have the canal walkway as well. So I've walked it. I had to go Wellington's for part of it. But look, going forward, Simon Wallace has agreed with Councillor Stafford and I, we'll meet residents out there to actually go through the loop to see if there is a possibility to make it a walking loop, with, of course, residents being involved in the discussions as well.
Okay, and finally, a motion then that the council explore the piloting of the Space Finder service recently launched in Limerick to help disabled drivers find parking spaces via an app in the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. Now, we'll be talking about parking over Christmas and whether or not some MDs have free parking, but just tell us a little bit about this app.
Yes, so Owen, I just want to acknowledge International Disability Week. We know it was the week before last, and we did a huge push through Kildare County Council and the access groups to really highlight it and about inclusiveness and accessibility. And within all of that comes disability parking spaces. So the Space Finder app was recently launched, as you said, in Limerick. It was developed by Park Magic and the Disabled Drivers Association. So essentially a small sensor is installed at the accessible parking bay, and this information is provided in real time for the driver. Now, they will need an Android or an Apple phone, but basically it just reduces the time that a driver has to be kind of driving around to find out where the available parking spaces are. And the Disabled Drivers Association are going to formally request every local authority to consider using the Space Finder service. So the paid parking section will investigate the possibility of providing the service as part of the current services across County Kildare. So I'm delighted with that response.
Okay, good stuff. Fine Gael, councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Peggy O'Dwyer, joining us with those motions. And Clem, we'll discuss the parking spaces.
Just before
then.
You do that, Owen, I want to acknowledge and pay tribute to Peggy for the incredible work she's been doing over the past year, both councillor duties, but in particular working actively on the front line as a nurse in terms of those vaccinations, and everybody else as well. Stop blaming the frontline workers or taking your disappointment or the whatever out and your frustration out on them. They're coping with a most amazing logistical operation of vaccinating millions of people and hopefully getting a couple of million people given boosters by Christmas. All right, let's work with them.
Thank you very much, Clem, and happy Christmas and stay safe. Thank you.
And happy Christmas to you, Peggy. We'll let you back to that very, very important work. Thank you indeed. That's Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer, Fine Gael Councillor on that. Joe Giltrap up in Leixlip says he wants to send regards to Rob Mulhern. We both worked for the Irish Post in London many years ago. And Owen, just very briefly, that update, we can tell people about free parking around the various municipal districts or not for Christmas.
Yeah, so you had mentioned, I believe, Clem, that there was free parking in Athy and Naas, so I checked out then the other three municipal
free
districts.
Free parking now in council car parks.
Council car parks,
Athy,
yes.
Athy, I think, is probably everywhere because it doesn't have specific car parks, but free parking in Athy, in Naas, free parking in council car parks, and the other three areas on?
Yeah, so Selbridge Leixlip, I asked Joe Neville, he said no, they have free parking on Saturdays and Sundays, free before 10 a.m. and free after 4 p.m, but in general they have the lowest level of pay parking in the county. That's Selbridge Leixlip. Clane Maynooth, then I was talking to Pádraig McAvoy. He said no, they haven't done it to prevent all day parking, no turnover and reduced access to people that need to arrive by car. He also clarified there is a 2-hour limit for on street parking in Clane, but no pay and display, which is how it is all year round. And Councillor Anne Connolly then for Kildare Newbridge said there's no change from the present arrangement. That's free 30 minutes before and after parking.
Alright, thanks for that, Owen. And finally, Owen, I'm sure you'll be out waving your little Santa hat, wearing your Santa hat tomorrow, because Sharon Nolan tells us that Santa is driving through Salins Village tomorrow at 2:30, and they would really appreciate social distancing must be adhered to. Says Sharon, happy Christmas to you as well. Santa driving through Salins tomorrow at 2:30, and remember, keep your distance. Up next, we look ahead to three Leinster semi-finals.
Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge. Get Christmas all wrapped up at Whitewater.
KFM.
Just before we proceed with the sport, Catherine Murphy asked the Minister concerned and the Garda Commission for Information on drink driving in the county in the last year or so. And can you believe this? In 2020, 180 drivers were arrested for drunk driving. Right? That's in 2020. In 2021 so far, 207 have been arrested. Is there any, are people not learning the lesson out there? It's worse it's getting. Drug driving in 2020 in Kildare, 180 cases, the exact same as drink driving. In 2021 so far this year, 238 people have been arrested for drug driving. 207 for drink driving. Are we numbskulls or something? Is the message not getting through that whatever about these people killing themselves while they're behaving irresponsibly, they could kill innocent people and the law needs to crack down on that. Anyway, second sermon of the morning over. Tommy Callaghan, good morning to you.
Morning, Clem.
Sports editor of the Leinster Leader. And Tommy, we're looking at three games and we're going to start in reverse. I'm looking at your reports, your previews in the Nationalist, where you say Naas get the vote over Shelmaliers to advance to the decider, and then Kilcock and Kilcullen bid for provincial final stops. Spots even. Let's start with the in reverse and we'll go to the junior semi-final where you say, Tommy, Kilcullen, having looked in trouble against Grange of Leash in their quarter-final, came good when it mattered to book a place in tomorrow's semi-final.
Yeah, Ken, it was a typical Kilcullen performance, as we have said here over the last number of weeks and probably going into months at this stage. Played well, went to sleep, looked to be in big trouble and then came good. I mean, they got a tremendous start against Grange of Leash down in Dr. Cullen Park last Saturday week, I think it was, and they scored 2-2 in the first 8 or 10 minutes. They led at half-time comfortably enough. Then I think they lose concentration or something, and they let Grange right back into it. And in fairness to Grange, they weren't a bad team. They played good football. A couple of very good footballers.
And they were a much bigger physical side, I understand, as well, Tommy.
Yeah, they were a big physical side, Clem, and when they got Kilcullen on their own, they really looked as if they were going to polish them off, you know. But in fairness to Kilcullen, they knuckled down, they brought on a few fresh legs, got a couple of scores, and in the end, they won it. And deservedly won it. I have to say that they deservedly won it. Even though, I mean, I said Grange were very disappointed after the match was over. But as I think I said it here the last before that match, Kilcullen, they just have to put in a 60-minute performance or as close to 60 as you can get. 45 or 50 minutes is not enough, but it has been enough for them so far. But I'm sure Ray McGrogan will be drumming it into their heads that it's even if you go 3 or 4 points ahead or 6 points ahead, it doesn't mean the match is over by any stretch of the imagination.
Let's hear what he had to say.
What a game, as I say, for neutral to watch, I say, with some game of football. For December, the intensity, the pace, the work off the ball and on the ball was unreal to watch. They don't have belief after that. They had to dig deep. And you know yourself, when a team has to dig deep, when they're in trouble and they go on and they win by 2 points, it has to bring, as a collective, and confidence in yourself to that next level. And please God, we bring that now to the Westmeath team.
Consistency is what they need, Tommy. They're playing this team with four names. I can only remember two or three of them. Castletown, Cool, Finney and something else.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being on the sideline and shouting that?
Jerry McNally have a problem getting around all them ones, I can tell you.
I can tell you, well, the task will be given to Seamus Dillon. Anyway, I think we'll just call them Castletown or whatever.
I think the way a lot of them now we're calling them CFCW.
Yes, exactly. It would make a bit of sense. The one thing the point you make in your report, Tommy, which you've said there, is that a 60-minute performance, as Brian McGrogan said there, that's an absolute essential tomorrow.
You can't keep going to the well and playing for 45, 50 minutes and hoping to get away with it all the time, you know. You just won't get away with it all the time. But, I mean, look, Kilcullen at this level of football, Kilcullen are more than a decent team. They have a couple of very good footballers. They have a bench that there's one or two lads there that'll always come on and do a bit of a job for them. So, and Brian McGrogan has them working well. It's just that they just don't drop that concentration level. Don't drop out for 7, 8, 10 minutes.
Okay.
They'll be there thereabouts.
That's a big message. Kilkeok, you write in this week's edition of The Leader. Kilcock came through the quarter final against Tang somewhat comfortably, 113 to 8 points. But having said that, they did lose influential wing back Daniel Courtney to a red card. That's going to be a significant challenge for them tomorrow, heading to O'Connor Park in Tullamore, taking on Offaly's side Clara.
Yeah, a big blow to Kilcock. Daniel Courtney, apart from being a hell of a good footballer, he's having a very, very good year. You go right back to the entire Kildare Intermediate Championship this year, and Daniel Courtney, he scored in most matches. He's a very good attacking wing back. He can play, he can move to midfield as well. A very, very influential footballer, and it's a big, big blow to Kilcock. But having said that, it was actually after Daniel was sent off that Kilcock kind of stepped up their game in the quarter final against Tang. I wasn't at that game; I was in Clane that day, I think. But talking to Jerry McNally, when Daniel was sent off, it seemed as if the whole Kilcock had said, "Right, we have to go a little bit. Everybody has to do an extra 10% now," and that's what they did.
And that's what they did indeed. Listening to the commentary, let's hear from manager Kian Flanagan.
Very happy defensively again. Very good. It's just 1 point from play we conceded. Maybe we need to stop fouling and leaving teams in it with freeze. But no, overall, very happy to come down here. This is pretty much a home game from them. They're 5 minutes up the road. We came down an hour. No dressing rooms, no anything. It's hard to prepare for that kind of stuff. But no, look, delighted to get out here with the win. I was hoping there'd be neutral venues for the semi-final. But Clara, they'll probably play it in Clara. The way things are going for us this year, we don't seem to get much luck. But look, we're happy enough to go on the road, to be honest. It's a new experience for us, it's a new experience for the lads. So look, we'll go there and give it our best shot.
I'll give it our best shot, and we'll have full commentary on that game with Pat Costello tomorrow over from O'Connor Park in Tullamore, and that coverage is brought to you by Myglare Sand and Gravel in Kilcock. And finally then, Tommy, on to the Croke Park at 3:15, where Ger McNally and Philly Wolf will be on commentary for us with Auxilia Management Consultants in Naas. Your headline, Naas get the vote over Shelmaliers to advance to the final.
Yes, Clem, isn't it great? A couple of days, a week to go for Christmas, and here we have three teams in the Leinster in still in contention. You know, it's brilliant, really. Semi-finals, and who thought we'd be in Croke Park 10 days before Christmas? And I think it's a credit. Naas are just having an incredible season. Their hurlers are already through to the Leinster final in January, and now the footballers are hoping to join them. They played very well against Blessington. It could have been a tough game. They were always kind of fancy to beat Blessington, but a lot of the players, they know one another there. A lot of them would have played together. A good few of them would have played together there. For the SCBS in their big run in Leinster a couple of years ago, and I thought they played well. They were never really in doubt. They led at half time 1-7 to 1-2, and when you think that goal for Blessington came, I think in the 32nd or 33rd minute, from their man of the match, their centre forward Kevin Quinn. But Naas buckled on, they rallied on in the second half and won it very comfortable in the end.
Before we have a word on Shelmaliers, let's hear from Owen Doyle.
Coach for us as well, we would have went to school with a lot of them boys. There was a lot of locality to the thing, so there was going to be that type of a battle, and I think all of these matches going on 2 weeks ago for us and then this week, it's not going to be a pretty football that it was maybe in the summer. It's a completely different ball game, but absolutely delighted just to come out the right side of it.
You're heading to Croke Park now.
Yeah, I remember two boys were asking about that here 4 or 5 weeks ago after the county final, and at that point it was probably a distant memory now, but I wasn't thinking too much about it. But it's absolutely great, like, it's great for the club, I think. Going there and performing, or going there and playing a match is one thing, but going there and winning is a different kettle of fish altogether, so that'll be the objective.
So the objective, of course, is to win. They're on a high. Shelmaliers, Tommy, you're giving them the vote to beat Shelmaliers.
Yeah, I suppose I'm giving them the vote, seeing the way Naas are playing more than anything else, Clem. Needless to say, I haven't seen Shelmaliers playing. I'm just checking up on them and reading about them. In their quarter final now, they trailed early on, you know. They were looking in dire trouble, but they came back and hit 2-4 just coming up to half time and immediately after to get themselves right back into the game. It was an unusual type of game. There was black cards and there was a couple of red cards. I think both goalkeepers at different stages got black cards. Sherman is, by all account, one of the wing backs, probably a bit like the Kakak man we're talking a second ago, Daniel Courtney, Ross Banville. He scored 1-1 and 1-2, but I notice his name is coming up a fair bit on the score sheet, so he's one that probably have to keep an eye on. And Owen Nolan, the corner forward, is the man that finds the net every now and again too. So listen, Nates are going into this one as fairly hot favourites, possibly because it's Kildare versus Wexford, which really and surely has nothing got to do with the way the game's going. Nates, but I think Nates are playing well. And I really think Croke Park is suiting Nates. And there's one thing, Clem, I think is very important here. There's at least 8 lads on that Nates team that have experience of playing in Croke Park, between playing for Kildare hurlers and footballers. That has to be a huge bonus.
On that note then, Tommy, we'll have full coverage from 1 o'clock tomorrow, full commentary of the Kilcock game with regular updates every couple of minutes of the Kilcullen game in association with Maeglair Sand and Gravel Kilcock, and then to Croke Park for full commentary with Ger McNally and Philly Wolfe on the Naas Shelmaliers game in association with Auxilia Management Consultants. They're in Millennium Park in Naas, and you can read all those previews we've been talking about, as I've been quoting from, in this week's edition of the Leinster Leader with Tommy, and indeed full report and all the games over the weekend as well. We're looking forward to a cracker, Tommy. You have a cracker as well. And in case we don't talk, very happy Christmas to you.
A very happy Christmas to yourself, Clem, and all at KFM. Unfortunately, we won't have a match next Saturday week. It'll be Christmas. So we won't be waiting too long into January before we'll be back firing again on all cylinders.
Absolutely. First week in January, indeed. Tommy, thank you for all your time and contributions every week during the course of the year. We look forward to doing it again in 2022.